One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby.
Hey, hi everybody, you got a roll with the punches. Your old pal Mike Houlihan here for Hibernian Radio. Welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for listening. We're brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Mike Haggerty, Buick, GMC, Volkswagen, and personal injury attorney Carol Ann Gallagher. And she's our newest addition to the show. So glad you're all here tonight. Hey, I want to thank all the guys over at the Emerald Society where my son Patty and I were Monday night for their Rib Fest. Just a terrific night for those guys who welcomed me into their group and made me an associate member of the Emerald Society. I'm thrilled and humbled to be a part of that organization. It was just a great night. Lots of great music, lots of laughs, stories. And we just had a great time. So thanks so much to Jeff Lang for putting that together. Now, we have an exceptional guest tonight. He's a good friend of our good friend, Chief Patrick Fitzmaurice of the Chicago Fire Department. Dennis Boyle. Dennis, welcome to the show, Bill.
Thanks, Hooley. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. Now, you have an interesting story to tell.
Well, we'll see about that. Huh?
Did you grow up in Chicago?
Well, I grew up in Northwest Indiana, but I spent all my business career in Chicago.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And what were you doing in business?
Advertising and marketing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You could have helped us.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you have your own company? Or?
I did for a while, and then I worked for a couple of agencies, and then I guess I retired. I quit working. Is that retired?
I quit working a long time ago. I was on their show. Somebody said, "Are you retired?" I said, "From what? I haven't had a job in 40 years." Anyway, so you did that and had a great career. And then you came to a Rubicon in your life and said, "I got to make a decision."
I did. You know, the fall of 2014, I was working for an agency here in Chicago, and really a great one. And I came home and I talked to my wife. We were living in Lincoln Park, and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I've done this for 35 years, and I'd like to go somewhere else. I'd like to live someplace else. I basically lived in the Midwest my whole career. And she said, "Well, where do you want to go?" And I said, "Well, I don't play golf, so that leaves out Florida and Arizona." I said, "Ireland?" And she'd never been there. And she said, "I'd do that."
God bless her.
I know. Yeah. So I quickly arranged a quick trip over there so she could see it. We went in November, which, as we all know, is lovely. but we had a great time, and she really enjoyed it. And then when I came back right after Christmas, I told them I was leaving, and the following summer we left.
Oh, so you guys went on a little research trip.
We did, because she'd never been there, and I thought, well, gee, the least I could do is she could maybe see the place before we go.
Yeah.
So we did go over there.
How long did you go for?
We went for 10 days.
Okay.
And, looked around, mostly the Southwest Coast, just because I'd been there with my father in the 1980s, and I had fond memories of it.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had our sights on a couple of places, and I'd never heard of Kenmare. This is how bad I am. And we went through Kenmare, and I thought, well, this is great. I love this little town.
Yeah.
And we almost ended in Dingletown, but that's great, too.
Yeah.
So we went to Kenmare. Yeah, and we got there on July 3rd of 2015.
Cool.
Yeah, it was great.
And then what did you do, rent a home?
Yeah, so, long-term rentals over there are really a great deal because by Irish law, they have to be furnished. So if you can find one, now here's the problem. If you go to the Southwest Coast in July, I didn't know this. There really weren't any. They want to rent it to you by the week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the holiday home, that's the holiday home rental season. So I rented a succession of holiday homes, not the most efficient way to do this.
Oh, really? Yeah. You went from one to another? Yeah.
Yeah, until I finally could find a full-time residence.
Well, you didn't have any furniture or anything.
No, we each took one suitcase and we were only going to stay a year, and we stayed 2 years.
Oh, cool.
And I brought too much stuff, even with one suitcase.
Yeah. Well, you accumulated a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you know, you do. Not, really not all that much, but you do. So we finally rented a place, and it was, furnished and, dishes and silverware. And
yeah.
So it's actually one of the really great deals, I think, in Ireland is rent. It's not very expensive.
Now, did they give you any heat to say, hey, you're staying here for a year, what, do you got to get a visa?
Yeah, oh, man. So, you know, all you got to do is show up and you get a 90-day tourist visa, right?
Oh,
so
okay.
Everybody gets a 90-day visa.
Oh, 90 days, I didn't know.
Sure, yeah. So what people used to do that had homes in Ireland, they'd come for 90 days, go back to Chicago for a couple weeks, go back, get another 90-day visa, but the Irish government has kind of gotten hip to that. Yeah. So I had to get what's called a stamp zero visa, and I don't want to go into gruesome detail here, but... It was really amazingly complicated. And again, I think because, you know, I don't mean that the Irish government is malevolent in any way. I don't mean that. But I think we've made it harder for Irish people to emigrate here.
Yeah.
And so I think they made it a little harder for Americans.
Did you get in touch with the consulate before you went over there?
I did.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, basically you got to deal with Dublin. So you have to have your financials audited by an Irish accounting firm. So, yeah.
Honest to God.
And what you have to prove is a minimum amount of income, and they've raised it. In fact,
because they don't want you trying to get a job there.
That's right. And they also don't want you to start sucking up Irish benefits, which are quite good, and I don't blame them. There's only 4 million people living there, and they take good care of their people. So you got to prove that you've got X amount of money, both of you, so you get a double that figure, and you have to have an amount of money equivalent, and this is actually what it says, to what it would cost you to buy an average house in the United States. I'm not even sure what that means.
Yeah.
And a house, not good enough, because it's not liquid enough. So you could say, well, gee, I own a $500,000 house. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not liquid enough, so you have to have cash liquid. So you've got to prove you've got insurance. You've got to have a leasing agreement. There's a lot of stuff. I don't want to discourage people.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm trying to, and I'm not. You get through it. I'm no genius. I did it.
Now, were your parents from Ireland? No.
No. On my mother's side, it was my great-grandfather, and on my father's side, it was my great-great-grandfather.
Okay.
And I believe right now, if you have a grandfather that was born in Ireland, you don't have to go through any of that. You can get.
Yeah, I became an Irish citizen because of my grandfather.
Yeah, which I think is fantastic because now you have an EU passport.
Yeah, I do.
So you can go anywhere in the EU, which I think is great. Yeah.
But you didn't have that.
I did not.
Okay.
No, I didn't. So I had to go through that, and it was really kind of funny because, you know, you put all this in a packet and you mail it off to Dublin, and there's nobody to call. There is not a number to call.
Yeah.
There used to be an 800 number. They disconnected it.
No kidding.
Yeah. So you just have to wait. You just wait, and you're going to wait a couple months longer than you think you're going to wait.
Yeah.
I mean, there you can certainly send letters, and they always reply, because Irish Postal Service is really great.
Yeah.
And but there's nobody to call, and we had already planned a little vacation to Europe, and I thought, you know, my tourist visa has expired.
Wow.
So what if I go to France and coming back in, they won't let me back
into
Ireland. I got to go back to the U.S. So it all worked out, though. So that was
interesting. So you rented a place,
and
I'm obviously on your first night, you said, let's go to a pub, right?
Sure.
And you walk in there with your wife, and you say, hi, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm Dennis Boyle from Chicago.
Exactly. You know, I learned something kind of interesting, and that is, you know, growing up, I'm sure when anybody is an American, somebody asks you your nationality, you don't say American.
No.
You say, well, I'm Irish, or I'm German, or I'm Spanish.
Or Irish American.
Or I'm Irish, right. But you almost never even say that, right, if you're in the United States. So when I went to Ireland, I realized that I'm not Irish.
Yeah.
I'm an American. They're Irish.
What county are you from? Cork.
That's right. So we went to a little pub in Kenmare called the Atlantic, which is just a great old place. And,
is Kenmare K-E-N-M-A-R?
K-E-N-M-A-R-E.
All right, I've been there. I thought it was Kenmare.
Well, you know, right, but the Irish pronounce it Kenmare, so the emphasis is on the second syllable.
Yeah.
Whereas I would have said Kenmare.
Okay.
That's how I would have called it. Yeah. So we went in there, and you know, it's just the same experience you're going to have anywhere in Ireland, you know.
Yeah.
People are, you know, you just
friendly.
You go in for the crack, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Which was a term I had never heard before.
Yeah.
And it disturbed me at first.
Because you were buying cocaine or something.
Yeah.
So what stands out after the 2 years? Did you have a lot of friends that you made lifetime friends? Or?
We did. As a matter of fact, there was a younger couple. This was the guy who owned the local gym.
Yeah.
And so I went into the local gym, and they were in their late 30s. And so they just sort of adopted us and said they would call us up and go, hey, you want to go to Morocco? And
wow.
We'd go like, what? I said, I'm older than your parents. He goes, I don't care. Let's go to Morocco. That was $67 round trip to Morocco.
Yeah.
And we made really good friends. And my wife, who is way more industrious than I am, she learned to make Kenmare lace.
She
got involved in an art group. So she had all kinds of friends. And I just had, you know, a few guys I met in the gym or the pub.
That was fun, plenty.
It was plenty for me.
Yeah. So what made you decide to go back?
You mean come back to the States?
Yeah.
Well, elderly parents. My wife
has
a mother that's, you know, she's in great health, but she's 94. And I just had, although I didn't know it when I came back, just had my first grandchild. So
terrific.
It's good to be back. But, you know, I have to say, you know, I miss it.
Sure, it's always calling you home.
Yeah, I do. And so I think the only reason we came back. And my wife stayed a year longer than she originally agreed to. So.
Yeah. So are you going, you're thinking about going back, though?
I would like to go back. Now, I'm not sure exactly when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think if I could arrange that, I would like to go back. But maybe spend some of the time in Portugal where it's warm.
Oh, yeah, so, sure.
Yeah. You know, none of the Irish are staying there. They're all going to Portugal to get warm. So.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, I got a friend, Mike Monahan, and just he lives there. He lived right outside of Galway. He grew up in Headford. And during the Celtic Tiger, he bought an apartment in Croatia.
Oh, yeah.
I said, what the hell would you do that for? He goes, and it was an investment. And he thought, but eventually that went kaput. But,
although, there's
can't
still
imagine having an apartment in Croatia.
You know, still people vacation there from Ireland and Poland and in Croatia. In fact, I think the second largest immigrant population in Ireland now are the Poles.
Oh, really?
I think there's about 120,000 Poles living in Ireland.
Well, they're okay.
They are. We like the Poles, don't we?
Yes,
I do.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're Catholic.
They are.
For one thing.
They are.
They're right-thinking people, and they have an ish. They're Polish, Irish, you know.
I never thought of it that way, really. That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. Now, do you still communicate with your pals from Kenmare?
I just talked to him a couple days ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're on. He got me on Facebook Messenger.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's really just, cheap FaceTime.
Yeah.
So I can see him and talk to him. So that puts me on FaceTime or on Facebook. Look at me.
But believe me, it's cheaper than a phone call.
It really is. Yeah. So I do stay in touch, and Dawn stays in touch with some of her artists. That's my wife, stays in touch with some of her artist friends.
Cool.
And the lady she made Irish lace with. So Kenmare is a center for Irish lace. Now, you're probably looking at me like, who cares, right?
Yeah.
You think that's a doily, right? Irish lace? Well, so Irish lace is incredibly intricate. I mean, like, generations of nuns went blind, from...
Yes, they did.
So Dawn would work for 2 weeks on this piece of Irish lace, and she'd come home, she'd go, oh, you got to see my Irish lace, and she'd show it to me. It's the size of a postage stamp.
Yeah.
That's
wonderful, honey.
Yeah, really great. Yeah, no, she might hear this. It was really great.
Do you have kids?
Yeah, I have two grown children. Yeah, I have a son, Patrick, who lives in Denver.
Okay.
And I have a daughter, Katie, who lives here in Chicago.
Did they visit you at all while you were in
Ireland?
They
did. As a matter of fact, the first year that we were in Ireland, we were never alone.
Oh, that's terrific.
It actually was. Everybody came to visit us the first year. I mean,
Everybody
came to visit us. So fortunately, we rented a big enough house, and we had company all the time.
Good.
So I could actually do tours of the Southwest Coast.
How big a house did you rent?
Well, I rented a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, and
my
Irish friend said, this is not an Irish house. And it really wasn't. It looked really more like an American house than an Irish house. So the second one, which was also overlooking Kenmare Bay, was much more, more of a charming Irish house. So, but for the first year, it was great because we had so many visitors.
And you could, I can't imagine. I mean, I can. It's everybody's fantasy. But I used to have fantasies about owning a bar too, and I went through that.
You know how that works.
It was a disaster. Yeah. But I would love to live in Ireland, just because it feels like home when you get there. You know,
it's really weird that you should say that because I hadn't really been there very often, and I grew up in Northwest Indiana. You know, steel mills and refineries, and when I got to Ireland, particularly the Southwest Coast, I liked to hike. So I'd go out and just go out into the green roads, and I really felt at home, which is so strange because it didn't look anything like Northwest Indiana.
No.
So I got that same feeling, Holly.
Now, where are you living now? Are you in
Buffalo? Yeah, I live in New Buffalo, Michigan.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, you know, it's about an hour and 20 minutes from here.
Sure, it's very close. Yeah.
So that's where we are now.
So you drove in tonight from New Buffalo?
I did.
Oh, good for you.
That's not very far.
Yeah. What, 90 miles, something like that?
Yeah. It was really no problem at all. So, yeah, so I do that. And I get downtown maybe once a month, you know, visit friends or have lunch or, you know.
You know what? My brother had a place in Long Beach, Michigan City.
Yep. But, about 10 minutes away.
I don't go downtown that often anymore. And when I do, it's like, I forgot what a pain in the neck this is.
Yeah, where is so many people?
Yeah, and you take the train, and it's like, thank God for the train. Yeah. Parking is crazy. But it's a muscle, you know?
It is.
And I think Ireland is also a muscle.
I think it is. You know, I can't imagine that I will never go back. And I really liked, as much as I make it sound like a nightmare getting the Stamp Zero visa, you can do it. And the driver's license is just hysterical, getting a driver's license over there.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you.
Oh, they're serious about driver's licenses.
Well, you had to adapt to driving on the other side of the road.
Yeah,
that took about,
at first I thought, oh man, I'm gonna die here. But after about a month, it was great.
Yeah.
But you know, I went over there and I had to buy a car.
Yeah.
So I buy a car. Unfortunately, on the Southwest Coast, it's not really a car culture. You know, everybody's driving kind of beaters. So you can buy an old car.
They just want transportation.
Yeah, they just want transportation. But you got to get a driver's license. So
So
over here, you know, you go to the license bureau.
That's a scene in a movie right there, you getting your driver's license in Ireland.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you just look at the brochure over here for like 20 minutes. You take the test. Everybody passes.
Rules of the road.
Oh, my God. Over there, you had to go to Tralee, which was about an hour away.
Oh.
And I stood in line there, and then I got up to the front, and the woman said, well, you got to have this and this and this, and by the way, I need your PPSN number. And I went, my what?
What the heck is that?
What's like your social security number?
Oh, okay.
I didn't know I needed that.
Yeah.
So that was a whole other thing. And, oh, I got to have an eye test, and that's only good for a month.
Oh, wow.
And so we do all that, and then you get to go to this local area where they pull up a big truck, and in the back of the truck is a bunch of computers. And you get on these computers, and you take your driver's test, and a lot of the Irish fail it because it's so hard. You know, and I studied. So there'd be this one section. I'm kind of making this up, but you have to identify what street signs mean, right?
Yeah.
So imagine this.
And a lot of them are in Irish.
A lot of them are going to be in Irish, but let's imagine they're just visuals, right?
Yeah.
So you got a street sign. It's an octagon, and in the middle of the octagon is a cow, and over the cow is a lightning bolt. And then under the cow is what looks like hieroglyphics. Yeah. I made that up, kind of. But then there's four things it could be, right?
Oh, it's a multiple choice.
Right. And the guy who designed this test is trying to make you fail. Because, you know, they're very close.
Yeah.
You know, very close. So I think I passed by one.
Yeah. And what was that, by the way?
I don't know. Oh, okay. I kind of made
cow
that up.
Cow with a thunderbolt
over. But there's something like that. I mean, okay. I swear there's something like that.
You don't get actually in a car and they.
Oh no,
goes
there's
with
no
you.
No. Oh, but I've been driving 55 years. You get a learner's permit, my friend.
Oh yeah.
And that means you got to go to the local hardware store and you get this big white card with an L on it, and you got to put it in the window of your car, which I said, I'm not doing that.
Oh no!
And you can't drive on the expressways.
Oh, what do you mean you can't? Oh, if you're a learner.
Learner.
Oh yeah.
Well, I did that too. So, but yeah. So it was pretty interesting. Yeah. I have to say that was. Oh, and so after we'd gone through this rigmarole, and I finally go up to get my driver's license, the woman looks at all the paperwork and she goes, "Oh, your eye test expired yesterday."
Oh no!
So I had to go. Yeah, so I had to go back.
And they made you go back and get it again?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Sticklers.
They are, yeah. So you know, they're serious about driving over there more than we are. Yeah.
Now, one of the things I love about Ireland is everybody's ready to crack a joke at all times.
Yep.
Did you find that as well?
I really did, and I'll tell you a story about that. So I'm sitting in a pub, it's probably the Atlantic, but it could have been any other pub in Kenmare, and I'm sitting here talking to a guy who has a Cork accent. Are you familiar with the Cork accent?
Yeah. Paddy Holman, my friend.
Well, people thought this guy was speaking Irish, but he was speaking English with a Cork accent, so he's telling me a joke, and I know there's a punchline coming.
You're just waiting, when do I laugh?
But I have no idea what he's saying.
Yeah.
So I just sort of waited until it looked like the punchline, and I laughed at it. Yeah.
A funny story about that. I was with a buddy of mine, and we were in a little town called Inishkuttle, County Mayo, and we were looking for his roots, and his maternal grandmother was a a Quinn. And we're just kind of wandering around outside the school, and this woman says, what are you fellows up to? He says, oh, we're looking for his roots and get into it. What's your name? And he goes, my mother's grandmother's name was Quinn. And they go, well, Willie Quinn is over there picking up his granddaughter right now. And he went, huh? So we go over there. The guy's in the car. We knock on the window. The guy gets out, and he starts going, and I thought, wow, this is the thickest broke I've ever heard in my life. We couldn't understand a word he was saying. And finally he stopped and said, I had my tongue removed last week. I know it's terrible to laugh about, he had had cancer,
yeah.
And he told us, we went, oh, I get it. Just a beautiful guy, Willie Quinn.
Yeah,
but you never know.
No, you really don't. Yeah, it's just, but I think it's those, you know, for me, it's those little kind of unexpected things that happened over there that you got to laugh and think, that's, it's so great. And
it is.
It's so unlike here, and it is the people.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. Although the countryside, I don't want to, you know, get all mystical on you here, but the countryside really, I know that our relatives, our ancestors came over here for dire reasons.
Yeah.
But to have left a country that beautiful must have been heartbreaking.
I have a theory that the spirit speaks louder in Ireland.
Yeah.
It's a very spiritual place.
I agree.
And I've had a lot of spiritual experiences. My brother died, and one day we're walking, and my brother's name was Danny, and there's a guy playing Danny Boy. Just little things like that, and you go, wow! Yeah. And that's more of a thunderbolt moment. And every year I go to Ireland, I have one or two of those.
Yeah.
The spirit speaks louder in Ireland, no question.
And I think whether you're an Irish American or whether you're, you know, whatever nationality, whatever American you are, you should go over there for that reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to have that experience no matter
your heart will be touched.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I would often feel that way when I was walking those, you know, those green roads, sometimes by myself for hours, and you just would run into people.
Yeah.
It was great.
Sounds great.
Makes me wish I was there right now.
And anybody who wants to go with me, I'm going in October. I'm going in October with Liam Dirk and I'm going to be at Chief O'Neill, Sunday the 23rd. Come on by. Dennis, thank you so much for coming by.
Really
loved listening to you. Great to make a new friend. We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, and a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. They are spoiling and ready to argue and fight, yet the smile of a child fills their heart with delight. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, and there is no middle ground on which they will stand. That poem really sums up my personality exactly. My name is Caroline Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born on a tiny island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago to take up the practice of law here. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and often tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements. I will be your advocate. I will have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website, dwyercoogan.com, or call me, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thank you for listening.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself no. It's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless them. Call them today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan here with Hibernian Radio. Hey, that was great. Dennis Boyle telling us all about living in Ireland. But now we have the real deal. Somebody who was born in Ireland, our friend Carol Ann Gallagher, our newest sponsor of the show. Carol Ann, welcome.
Thank you, Hooli. How are you?
Terrific.
Thank you for having me, and I'm excited to be a sponsor on your show.
Oh, we are too. Now, take us back a little bit. You were born in Donegal, on Erinmore Island.
I'm from a little island off the coast of the northwest of Donegal. Erinmore is often confused with the Aran Islands in Galway, but in my opinion, much better.
Yeah.
There's about 500 people on Erinmore, so yeah, that's where I grew up.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. Yeah.
So you know everyone. They know everything about you. You know everything about them.
Were your people fishermen?
My dad was a tunnel miner, actually. So okay. My dad spent all of my life away from home.
Oh, wow.
So Erinmore is decimated by immigration and always has been and probably always will be.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of young kids and moms in Erinmore, and then a lot of older people in Erinmore. But that my generation, the 25 to 50, they're gone. And then the dads are gone. So my dad worked away from home. My mom raised me and my three brothers there. And he came home summer, Christmas, Easter for a couple of weeks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he was very much, but I wasn't the only one. That was just life on Erinmore.
Yeah.
It has a little bit of fishing, and there's some families that do that, but, really it isn't sustainable anymore, especially with the EU, and that really decimated the fishing industry as well. So it has a little bit, tiny bit of farming, but nothing really either sustainable. So really immigration is your only option.
And so did you get your leaving cert there?
Yeah. So actually, real funny story. I was one of the first students on Erinmore who went to the high school. We had no high school in Erinmore until 1990.
Wow.
So my brothers all went to boarding school off of the island. So they would go on a Sunday, come back on a Friday.
Yeah.
And then in 1990, they finally, after like 25 years of the islanders fighting for it, we got a school, a secondary school on Erinmore. So I was one of the first students, and in our school for the entire year, there was 24 kids.
Wow.
In our second year, there was 48 kids.
Yeah.
So we had a very unique schooling, and like, in my opinion, an amazing schooling, because our teachers knew everything about us, our abilities and our weaknesses, and so we it's,
and probably
it's actually
had known a, you all your life anyway.
Actually, yeah. No, most of the teachers were mainlanders that came in.
Oh, okay. Mainlanders, yeah.
Mainlanders, yeah. Uh-huh. And now, actually, the school in Aranmore, I think there, I don't exactly know the number, but there are more kids coming from the mainland to go to the school on Aranmore than there are islanders.
Wow.
Because it has such a great reputation.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So it's an amazing school. So I went to school there, and then I did my leaving cert there, and then I went to Galway. And so I did my degree in Galway. I did my law degree in Galway. And then in Ireland, it's a bit different to here. You have to do an apprenticeship. So you work actually in an office with a solicitor or a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then you
and this
also...
This is in Galway.
I did that in Sligo. And then I did my schooling in Dublin, finally, to get like admitted to the role of solicitors. So then I was a solicitor
there. It's like
passing
the bar.
Yeah, pass. It's like, exactly. It's like passing the bar. It's a little bit different because I think it's better than the American system because they give you office practice. You're actually in an office and you're actually doing real things that lawyers do. Whereas here, you just do the bar exam and then all of a sudden you're a qualified attorney and you're put out into the Wild West and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So then I did that. Was working in Sligo then in a firm.
Oh, in Sligo.
Yeah, I was working in Sligo in a firm for because that's where I did my
personal injury firm.
So in Ireland it's a bit different. It's very general practice.
Yeah.
You kind of do a bit of everything. You know, the guy wants to sell his house today, he breaks his leg tomorrow, he wants to make a will next week. So you do the
whatever
business.
Yeah.
You know. So it's very general practice. But I was always interested in personal injury. I was always that was my area that I was trying to focus on. It's hard to just specialize in Ireland.
Yeah.
So then when I came here, that was my
And you were
focus.
Just here on a visit, right?
I was here on a visit, yeah.
Who were you visiting?
So I came here as a J1er.
Okay.
I'm sure you guys, or your listeners know what that means.
A lot of them work here at
Lizzie's. Yeah, a lot of them work here. I came in like 98 and 99 as a J1er both years. And so I had a lot of gra for Chicago as a result. I had
a lot of what?
A lot of gra, a lot of love.
Oh, that's great. Okay, a lot of gra.
For Chicago. And so one of my good friends who was with me on the J1, she stayed.
Ah.
And so I came to visit her then in 2008.
Yeah.
Just for like a long weekend. And then went to an Irish bar on the northwest side and met a guy from Limerick.
That was the three counties, right?
That was the three counties, right?
Yeah.
And met this guy from Limerick and then started like a long distance international, I don't know what the hell you call it, thing with him. I went back home. He was here and we were like, okay, someone has to make a move here.
Yeah.
And so I came to give it a try. I took a 3-month sabbatical from my job. I told my job I was going to be back and I was just going to have a little adventure for a few months and I'd be back. And they said, fine.
They were cool with that.
They were cool with that. And then I never went back.
Oh, yeah.
And that was 11 years ago.
Wow.
So I owe them I think I owe them a phone call.
So... So you got right into the personal injury stuff
I
here?
Did. Yeah. Another weird situation. The night before I was leaving Aranmore, as you do, there's a lot of people from Aranmore actually in Chicago.
Oh, really?
And so one of my friends came to my house to give me something for her sister who was living in Chicago. You know, will you take this package to my sister? So as she was walking out my mother's front door, she handed me a business card. And she said, you know, I don't know what you're going to do there, but I met this guy. He's an attorney. I met him in Vaughan's, which is another bar
Vaughan's.
On the northwest side.
We know Eamon Vaughan very well.
Right. So
he sponsors my film festival.
She said, he's a great guy. Just in case, you know, you ever need anything, just tell him you know me.
Yeah.
So I got to Chicago. I didn't really know what I was going to do. Obviously, I was unqualified. I wasn't qualified as a lawyer in Chicago, but I was a lawyer there. And I didn't know what I was going to do.
Yeah.
So I was here for like 10 days and I called this guy who was an attorney and...
Can you tell us his name? No, okay, don't.
I'd rather not.
Okay.
Because I don't work for him anymore.
Oh, all right.
But anyway, so long story short, I called his office and, you know, as a lot of attorneys, we don't take calls unless we know who's going to be on the phone. So I left him a voicemail and he called me back and he said, you know, I really am not looking for someone. I'm not hiring, but I really liked your accent. So I said, I'll call you back. So then I talked to him on the phone and then he said, come down on Friday. We'll have a chat. And he's like, you know, I really don't know what I would do with you because you're not licensed and all of this. And so I went down on Friday and I started working with him on Monday.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You changed his mind.
I changed his mind. And I was there for 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did. So then I did my bar exam with him.
Okay.
And then became qualified as a lawyer there and worked there.
Now, did you have to go back to law school or anything?
I didn't, actually, no.
Oh, you just took the bar exam and passed it, huh?
Because I had been practicing in Ireland for over 5 years.
Yeah.
So there's a special rule. If you've been practicing for over 5 years, you don't have to do the anymore law school.
Right.
So yeah, I took the bar and it was horrendous.
Oh.
Yeah, it was
just
tough.
Once?
I took it once. Yeah,
oh, wow.
I took it once.
Richie Daley took it like 5 times, I heard.
I think JFK took it number of times,
okay.
too. Yeah.
JFK Jr., you mean?
I do mean JFK Jr.,
yeah.
Right.
So then how did you meet the great Pat Dwyer?
Met Pat Dwyer actually through a friend of a friend, again, like a weird situation. I wasn't really looking for a job. They weren't really looking for someone.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just all gelled. And so I've been there almost 2 years now.
But they made you a partner.
They made me a partner.
That's a big deal.
Very fast. Yeah.
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 When did that happen? Just last year?
In November last year.
Oh, wow.
So I was there like just over a year when that happened. And so there's 4 of us at Dwyer & Coogan, and we do personal injury, all sorts of whatever personal injury, like workplace injuries, auto accidents, medical malpractice. We do a lot of nursing home cases,
yeah.
which are really hard and tough cases.
Oh, yeah.
We do workman's comp, so all of those kind of areas.
Well, that's the nice thing about that is if someone's really in a jam, you work on they take a third or
right.
whatever.
Yeah. So it's called a contingency.
A contingency,
yeah.
yes.
And so we don't take anything up front. There's no hourly rates. There's
yeah.
no retainers.
So people are in a situation. They don't
yeah.
have the money to hire a lawyer, but they could finally
Absolutely.
Get a lawyer. And yeah.
yeah, and yeah. we work on it. We take a chance on it. They
yeah.
take a chance on
yeah.
us. We take a chance on them. And
yeah.
hopefully it works out. And if it does work out, we get a fee. If it doesn't, we go about our way.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, that's the beauty of personal injury attorneys.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you obviously vet cases when they come in.
Yeah.
And if you feel strongly about it and it has merit, then, you know, we feel confident.
Now, you just had a big
it.
Case a week ago.
Yeah. Like a week and a half ago, I just had a verdict
yeah.
in a medical malpractice case. So medical malpractice cases are tough in and
yeah.
of themselves. So it was I think it was going on 5 years. But we got a verdict, and it was a big deal, and it was a
can you say
hard
the hospital
case.
It was can you mention who it was?
No. I probably shouldn't mention
right, okay.
who it was because right. it still hasn't been paid.
Oh, all right. Yeah, get the money, right?
Yeah, I need to get
yeah.
the money. They have
yeah.
30 days to appeal it. Our verdict was like a week and a half ago. So
cool.
We had a 3-week trial. I had a very, very deserving client. She
yeah.
lost her mom.
Yeah. And her mom was very young.
Her
right?
mom was 61, and it
yeah.
was very, difficult circumstances, and it just shouldn't have happened.
Right.
And the jury believed that, and
yeah.
they did the right thing. And so it was it's a humbling experience, I always ask my juries this question, especially in medical malpractice cases. You know, money's not going to bring these people back. You
yeah.
know, I can't turn back the clock, and I can't make this not happen. So all I have for my client, who's the surviving daughter, is to go this road.
Yes.
And you know, that's a hard thing for juries to understand. And it's a hard thing for juries to get wrap their head around, like, what's the right amount? Or, I mean,
right.
does money change anything? But it's,
yeah.
it's really not about the money, and it's about the justice, and it's about getting answers to why things happened. And you do in these trials, you do get answers, and they might not be the ones you want to hear, but at least you can, you can settle yourself and you can move on. I think
it's nice to know there's consequences for somebody who
right.
screws up,
right?
And they're supposed to be,
right.
a professional or whatever.
And unfortunately, monetary consequences is all we have.
Yeah,
yeah. So. But yeah, they're tough cases. They're hard fought battles. I had very experienced attorneys on the other side for the hospital, and it was a tough battle. So I'm very proud of that verdict.
You
very
should
proud
be.
Of it. Yeah.
I'm just watching you right now. I bet you're great in court.
I don't know.
Very sympathetic.
Yeah.
I
think, it's hard.
And
like,
you're
a
smart lady, and it's.
Mm. I work hard. I work very hard, and everyone gets the same attention. When I'm on trial in a case or I'm focused on something, no one else is getting it, and I'm focused on that, and that's
yeah,
it. And
yeah.
so I feel very proud that people trust me to hand that over to me. And I always tell my clients, I'm here to take the weight off you. You concentrate on getting better, or you concentrate
yeah.
on grieving for this person if it's
you.
A wrongful
yeah.
death situation. That's my job. My job is to worry about the legalities and worry about all of the crap that happens on the other end. And if I can take that burden off someone who's already in a really difficult situation,
yeah.
then
yeah.
I'm proud that I can do that. And I take it seriously,
Now you also have 2 little girls, right?
I do. Yeah. They're 6 and 4. So 2
wow.
little girls. So they're,
yeah.
They keep me busy. I tell everyone I have two.
What are their
obviously
names?
I have two jobs. Ava is my oldest, and then Anna is my youngest.
Okay.
She's four. So, yeah.
Six and four, that's a handful.
Yeah, they are. I have a very supportive husband, though. And so I, you know, being a lawyer is not a 9-to-5 job by any means. And so my husband has his own business. He's in construction, and I'm very lucky.
Oh, he's a general contractor.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so he's very, you know, he's out at the house by 5,
yeah,
but he's home by 3. So
yeah,
he's there for the girls when they come home from school.
Yeah.
You know, my day is probably only a third done at 3 o'clock.
Can you give his contracting company a plug?
Yeah, he named his contracting company after our daughter. So his contracting company is called Ava LLC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good. And so him. Then we had another one. So she's not happy about that. We thought about renaming it, but then he was already pretty well established at that point,
yeah,
and he was pretty well branded.
Okay.
So
what's his name?
His name is Patrick Hawk.
Patrick. All right, Patrick. Yeah. Well, this has been great.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us and helping us out. Come back anytime.
You
get a big case you want to talk about, please come back. It was just
a
great pleasure to meet you and hang out with you. And we'll be seeing you a lot.
All right. Thanks, Hooley. I appreciate it.
Okay. That's Carol Ann Gallagher. Not Gallagher. Gallagher.
That's right. Get it right,
from County Donegal. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself no. It's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless them. Call them today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero, and tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
If you're looking for an office in the Loop, you gotta check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated office suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did. This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
I thought he'd live forever, 'cause he seemed so big and strong. But the minutes fly and the years roll by for a father and his son. And suddenly when it happened, there was so much left unsaid. No second chance to tell him thanks for everything he'd done. I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memory lingers on, and I miss him, my old man.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, and a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. They are spoiling and ready to argue and fight, yet the smile of a child fills their heart with delight. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, and there is no middle ground on which they will stand. That poem really sums up my personality exactly. My name is Caroline Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born on a tiny island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago to take up the practice of law here. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and often tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements. I will be your advocate. I will have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website, dwyercoogan.com, or call me, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thank you for listening.
And we're back here on Hibernian Radio. Oh, she's a lovely gal, Carol Ann Gallagher. You'll be hearing a lot about her. I want to remind everybody, next Thursday night, I'm going to be at the Mount Greenwood Library telling some tales. It's Shanaki Huli night with the Ancient Order of Hibernians, Division 59. I'm going to be over at the Mount Greenwood Library, 11010 South Kedzie, starting at 6 o'clock. Tell some stories. We'll have a gas. I hope to see you all there. Come on out, everybody in Beverly, and we'll have some laughs. Also want to remind everybody, you know, we're going to Ireland with the great Liam Durkin on Sunday, June 23rd from 4 to 6 over at Chief O'Neill's. Liam's going to come by. We're going to have a PowerPoint on the trip. We're going to talk about the trip. He's going to play some tunes. If you've never heard this kid, he's unbelievable. And this will be his first trip to Ireland, so to watch that in his eyes would be great. And we've already got like 36 seats sold, so there's not many left. So if you want to get in on it, and this is especially for you Northsiders who were beefing because we did the other thing on the south side, we're doing it for you Sunday the 23rd at Chief O'Neill. So come on by. We'd love to see you. Even if you're not thinking about going, come on by and have a beer, and you get to hear Liam Durkin, and we'll have some laughs. All right, now, Billy, could you please give me a hand with this door? No, it's the wrong thing. Why do I keep getting this screwed up? You know what? Whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great Irish saloons. I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. He says to me, "Hey, holy, who died?" Oh, the music will be put in. Okay, Ann Scanlon, age 88, beloved wife of the late Local 150, our sponsor, George Scanlon. For 62 years they were married, and Ann was the mother of George, Marge, Thomas, Kevin, and Kathy. And she was a loving aunt to many in the U.S. and Ireland, and a friend of everyone she met. She was born in Enniskemoon, County Clare. Did I say that right? Enniskemoon, County Clare, Ireland. She immigrated to Chicago in 1949. She met her future husband at an Irish dance and married him when he returned from serving in the Korean War. She was deeply proud of her Irish heritage and appreciative of the challenges her courageous father faced raising six kids on a farm after her mother died shortly after she was born. Wow. She realized that love endured over all and brought that love to her own family and all those she met. God rest her soul, Ann M. Scanlon. Also, Catherine K. Doherty, age 86, of Park Ridge, beloved wife of the late Robert and a loving mother of Ed, Tom, Jim, and Christy. She was an active member of Mary Seat of Wisdom Parish for over 50 years, a proud member of the St. Patrick's Guild. She enjoyed travel, bridge, and most of all, helping others. God rest her soul, K. Doherty. Jimmy Keene's mom died. I don't know if everybody knew that. Mary J. Keene, Jimmy's mom. She was born in County Kerry, Ireland. Died peacefully last Monday, June 3rd, in Orland Park. She was a loving wife of the late Horse Keene. Jimmy was named after her. Jimmy Horse Keene. Horse was the bouncer at Hanley's House of Happiness for years. A big, tough guy, an iron worker. He's still remembered vividly in Chicago memories. And Jimmy's probably the best accordion player in the world. We know that because he won the All Ireland several times. Anyway, his mom, Mary J. Keene, was the mother of James, Anne, Dennis, Michael, and Matthew. I think Jimmy probably wrote this. Although the Kerry woman was small in stature, she was immense in the love she shared with her family and friends and was a social network before they existed. Mom was also very handy with a broom handle, which kept us all in line. God rest her soul. Mary J. Keene and Jimmy, our condolences. Also, a good friend of mine, Brian Fetzer, his daughter died this week. Only 38, Molly Fetzer. Such a tragedy, that cancer. And she had a couple of little boys of her own. The full obit's not out yet. It just happened yesterday. But our condolences to Brian and his whole family on Molly. And God rest her lovely soul. She's with the angels now. Okay, Matthew Hooker, another young guy, age 40, husband of Peggy, and the father of Frankie, Francesca, and Dino. and a dear brother of Jennifer and Jeffrey, who's a proud Mount Carmel alumnus and dedicated wrestling coach at Mount Carmel for many years of service. God rest his soul, Matt Hooker. And Mary G. Daly, age 84. This is Kathy Daly's mom. Kathy goes to Ireland with us every year. Mary Daly was the devoted wife of the late Walter and the father of Kathy, Michael, and the late Mary. God rest her soul. Our condolences to Kathy. Mary G. Daly. God rest her soul. Also, Paul Farity, who was in, when I was living in River Forest, he was a deacon there. Just a terrific guy. He was 85. He died just last week. He was United States Navy from 56 to 59. He met his great love, Claire O'Neill. He went to law school at night, working full-time because he and Claire kept having babies and they needed the money. Paul was a good son, brother, husband, father, uncle, grandfather, and friend. He was a friend to me as well. He was a generous, kind, fearless, smart, and decent man. He loved the Red Sox, and he was committed to his parish, St. Luke, where he was a deacon. And just a quick side story about Paul Farity. At one time, they were so crazy at the parish that they thought I might make a good deacon. And I was thinking, well, I went to, John O'Neill gave a little like welcoming thing at his home, and I said, I don't know how I get invited, but can you make any money at this? And they all kind of looked at me like, are you nuts? Paul Farity took me aside and said, you know, sometimes if there's a wedding or whatever, you can make a couple bucks on the side. I said, thanks, Paul. So God rest his soul, Paul Farity. All right, let's close up the crypt, Billy. And then that's it for the show. We're no Hooletown tonight because we just had too many guests and too much going on. Don't forget, plug. Oh, Barney Callahan's on 10618 Southwestern, our favorite Southside Irish pub. Also, the Twisted Shamrock over in the Midway area, our pals Mike Courtney and his wife Dawn, and Mike Joyce, the great leader behind Celtic Boxing Club. And who else do we have? Oh, the Irish American News. They've been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check out the Irish American News. You can say, advertise and call Cliff at 847-872-0700 or email him, cliff@irishamericannews.com. Oh, don't forget, Barney O'Callan has a big event coming up Saturday, June 29th, Country on Western Music Festival. It's an all-day affair right at Barney O'Callaghan's, 10618 Southwestern. You don't want to miss that. And don't forget, June 20th, I'll be over at the Mount Greenwood Library. June 23rd, I'm with Liam Durkin over at the Chief O'Neill's. Do we have time for one joke? One joke. Okay. I thought this was kind of interesting. A man was returning home a day early from a business trip, and he got into a taxi at the airport. It was after midnight. While en route to his home, he asked the cabbie if he would be a witness. The man suspected his wife was having an affair, and he intended to catch her in the act. For $100, the cabbie said okay. Quietly arriving at the house, the husband and the cabbie tiptoed into the bedroom. The husband switched on the lights, yanked the blanket back, and there was his wife in bed with another man. The husband put a gun to the naked man's head. The wife shouted, "Don't do it! This man isn't very generous! I lied when I told you I inherited money. He paid for the Corvette I bought for you. He paid for our new cabin cruiser. He paid for our home at the lake. He paid for our country club membership. And he even pays the dues." Shaking his head from side to side, the husband slowly lowered the gun. He looked over at the cab driver and said, "What would you do?" The cabbie said, "I'd cover him up. Don't want to catch cold there at that blanket. I want to make sure he stays healthy." Okay, everybody, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week on Hibernian Radio, and God bless you all.
And then I wondered, yes, I wondered, oh, Lord, I wondered, will I look down the road, and I wondered, just to see how far I was from God. And I buckled up.
shoes, and I started walking just to see how far I was from gold. All right. Blessing.